Right now, there are millions of iPhones sitting in pockets around the world that are permanently broken.
Yeah, permanently. And at a microscopic level, too.
Exactly. And Apple can never, ever fix them, which is just wild to think about.
It really is.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. It is Tuesday morning, June 23, 2026. And we've gathered six explosive tech stories from today's headlines to basically shortcut you to being the most well-informed person in your next meeting.
We've got a lot of ground to cover today.
We really do. We are covering everything from orbital space telescopes to zero-day cybersecurity exploits and, diving into crypto and AI as well.
And on the surface, these sources seem like they belong to completely different worlds.
Right, they seem totally disconnected.
Yeah.
But as you look closer, this massive underlying theme emerges, which is
A disruption of the monolith.
yes, across every industry, these massive established giants and the traditional ways they operate are just being permanently cracked open.
We are seeing the foundational architecture of all these industries shifting. So today we're going to trace that three line, starting with physical silicon and moving all the way out to how we survey the cosmos.
Okay, let's unpack this first story. Let's start with that permanent flaw in Apple's hardware.
This is a big one.
It's massive. A European research firm called Paradigm Shift just dropped a bombshell they're calling USBLITTER 8.
Catchy name.
Right. It is an unpatchable hardware vulnerability in Apple's A12 and A13 chips. So if you're holding an iPhone XR, an iPhone 11, or like an older iPad right now, your device is fundamentally compromised.
Because the researchers figured out how to exploit a race condition in the USB device firmware update mode.
Yeah, it attacks a boot ROM before the iOS operating system even begins to load. So Apple can push all the over-the-air software updates they want.
But they can't patch physical silicon.
Exactly. Millions of these older devices are now permanently jailbreakable. To make an analogy here, this isn't like a broken lock on a door that Apple can just swap out with a software update.
Right.
This is a flaw poured into the concrete foundation of the house itself. You can't patch concrete remotely.
What's fascinating here is the mechanics of this exploit. It's what makes it a true paradigm shift for iOS security.
Because of the boot ROM.
Yeah, the boot ROM is the root of trust for the entire device. It's the very first sequence of code that executes when power hits the chip.
Okay.
Paradigm Shift discovered that by flooding the device with carefully timed USB packets, they could trigger a race condition.
Which basically forces the processor to handle multiple conflicting commands at the exact same timer.
Exactly. This overflows a critical buffer, allowing the attacker to inject their own payload and just hijack the boot process entirely. It's a really sophisticated evolution of the Checkmate bug from 2019, but optimized specifically for this generation of chips.
But wait, I read the technical breakdown and it notes that executing this requires physical access to the device
That's true.
and specialized tools. It's not a remote attack over Wi-Fi.
No, it's not.
So my immediate thought is, isn't this largely academic? I mean, for the average listener listening right now, driving to work with an iPhone 11 in the passenger seat, is this actually a threat?
You're wondering if it's just a bruised ego for Apple's marketing team.
Yeah. It feels like a theoretical threat for security conferences rather than a genuine risk to someone's mobile banking apps.
I get that, but that view underestimates the secondary market and the broader security ecosystem.
How so?
Well, you're right that a remote attacker isn't going to drain your bank account from across the globe using SBLITTER 8. But physical access changes the threat model entirely.
Because if you lose your phone,
Or if your device is seized at a border crossing, the fundamental cryptographic protections of that device can now be bypassed.
oh, wow. Okay, that is a big deal.
But more importantly, look at the research community. Apple aggressively locks down its ecosystem to prevent reverse engineering.
Right, they hate when people tinker with their stuff.
Exactly. So by permanently breaking the A12 and A13 chips, researchers now have a massive, permanent fleet of immortal testing devices.
A golden renaissance for jailbreaking.
Yes, they can install custom operating systems, probe the secure enclave, monitor how iOS handles memory at a granular level. It turns these millions of devices into an open playground for finding software vulnerabilities that do affect the newer, uncompromised iPhones.
That is wild. And while human researchers had to painstakingly discover this hardware flaw in Apple's chips, the process of finding vulnerabilities is about to be entirely handed over to machines.
Moving so fast.
Yesterday, June 22nd, OpenAI released GPT 5.5 Cyber under their Daybreak initiative. And this is a highly specialized AI model that scans million-line code bases in minutes.
And it goes far beyond standard static analysis tools.
Because standard tools just look for known patterns of bad code, right?
Right. But GPT 5.5 Cyber uses a specialized tokenization scheme optimized purely for code syntax, not natural language.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The pipeline it runs is incredibly dense. It does pattern recognition, semantic analysis, exploit feasibility.
It traces complex call chains across entirely different software modules.
Yeah, and it identifies zero-day vulnerabilities, assigns a CVSS severity score, and then generates proof-of-concept exploits.
It definitively proves the bug is exploitable.
Okay, but if this AI is generating literal proof-of-concept exploits for zero-day bugs, isn't OpenAI basically handing the ultimate skeleton key to malicious hackers?
That's a huge concern.
How do we keep this out of the wrong hands? Because they're outputting ready-to-use cyber weapons.
The dual-use nature of this technology is the core tension in the cybersecurity industry right now. OpenAI's mitigation involves heavy rate limiting, strict usage monitoring, and entirely cutting off public access.
So it's only for verified organizations.
Right. But the deeper, systemic risk isn't just a malicious actor stealing the API keys.
What is it then?
The industry is staring down the barrel of massive human de-skilling.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
If an AI can audit a legacy code base in 5 minutes and spit out remediation code, junior security analysts will never learn how to trace a buffer overflow manually. We are risking a scenario where the foundational skills required to understand these complex systems just atrophy.
We end up relying entirely on a black box to tell us where our other black boxes are vulnerable.
Precisely the danger. And even with a lower false positive rate than traditional tools, the model still flags benign code.
So we still need humans.
Non-negotiable. Fixing a vulnerability in a live production environment can sometimes trigger a cascading failure that takes down the entire system.
Right. An AI can calculate the theoretical risk of a SQL injection, but only a human can weigh the risk of pushing a patch that might break the company's revenue pipeline for 6 hours.
The AI can highlight the flaw. Human judgment still has to manage the fallout.
Okay, so that model GPT 5.5 Cyber is a classic example of a massive monolithic intelligence brute forcing its way through a problem.
A giant monolith.
Yeah. But according to a new startup in Tokyo, building massive models like this might actually be the wrong direction entirely.
This is Sakana AI.
Yes. Founded by former Google Brain researchers, they just introduced a system called Fugu. And it is a multi-agent orchestration platform.
It's completely abandoning the monolith approach.
Exactly. It is hitting frontier-level performance, matching Claude and GPT-4 on major benchmarks, but doing it at 1/10 the cost, 3 times the speed, and using 1/10 the energy.
Because Fugu dynamically coordinates a swarm of smaller, specialized models.
To make an analogy here, imagine you're sick. Instead of going to one general practitioner who claims to know everything about the human body, you go to a hospital.
That's a great way to put it.
Fugu is the hospital administrator. It instantly routes your heart question to the cardiologist, your medicine question to the pharmacist, and combines their notes into one perfect diagnosis.
And why it matters is because of flexibility, cost, and sustainability. The architecture is a radical departure.
It's like microservices, right?
Yeah, exactly like microservices. If a new programming language is released tomorrow, OpenAI has to spend millions of dollars and months of compute time retraining their monolithic model.
Right.
With Fugu, you simply swap out the coding agent for a new one. The rest of the hospital keeps running seamlessly.
That failover reliability is incredible. If one specialist model in the swarm drops or hallucinates, the Fugu orchestrator can instantly delegate to a backup.
And don't forget the energy bottleneck. That 1/10 energy consumption metric is massive.
Yeah, because AI data centers are draining local power grids everywhere right now.
It's the most pressing physical constraint in the industry today. Fugu proves that brute forcing parameter counts isn't the only path to intelligence.
So Sakana is revolutionizing the architecture of AI to be leaner and meaner. But the race to build the best AI applications like video generation is actually being won by the companies playing it smart and safe with lawyers.
The application layer is a totally different battlefield.
It really is. Alibaba Cloud's Happy Horse 1.1 just hit number 2 globally for AI video generation.
It creates 60-second 4K videos using a diffusion transformer hybrid.
Which gives it high temporal coherence, right? Things don't just melt into the background.
Right. Diffusion models are great at photorealism, but they struggle with consistency over time. Transformer models understand sequential logic. Fusing them is what makes Happy Horse so stable.
But the strategy here is what's crazy. OpenAI's Sora stalled due to deepfake fears and enterprise limits. ByteDance's Cedence is tangled in massive copyright lawsuits from Hollywood studios.
Yeah, they're drowning in legal red tape.
Meanwhile, Alibaba won by using 100 million fully licensed clips and focusing strictly on B2B applications like marketing and virtual training.
They offer unlimited generations on a subscription tier.
So what does this all mean? Did Alibaba just win the silver medal purely because they decided to make boring corporate training videos instead of trying to generate Hollywood blockbusters like Sora?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, boring is what actually drives business.
Yeah.
Hollywood blockbusters capture the public imagination, but B2B marketing, e-commerce demonstrations, and enterprise training, that's reliable, massive volume.
And it doesn't get you sued.
Exactly. As Daniel Zhang pointed out, responsible AI requires transparency and licensing. While competitors are burning billions in legal fees installed by political restrictions, Alibaba is providing real value today.
It bypassed the Hollywood IP gridlock entirely.
They identified the mundane needs of marketing agencies and built a legally bulletproof tool to service them.
It's brilliant. And speaking of bypassing traditional structures, Wall Street giants are currently trying to entirely bypass traditional financial structures in that exact same vein.
The tokenization trend is exploding.
Asset manager Franklin Templeton, who has over $1.5 trillion in assets under management, just acquired 250 Digital and launched a dedicated crypto division.
Their on-chain product suite surged from $768 million to over $2.5 billion.
And their goal is to tokenize real-world assets, or RWA. This is a market projected to hit $16 trillion by 2030.
They aim to have 10% of their total AUM tokenized by 2027.
To make this tangible for you listening, tokenization is like taking a $100 million commercial skyscraper, throwing it into a digital blender, and turning it into a million digital puzzle pieces.
I love that visual.
Now, anyone in the world can buy a fraction of that building, 247, without a broker.
And we have to highlight how this differs from other firms just offering crypto custody.
Right, because custody is just holding digital assets in a vault, basically.
Exactly. But Franklin Templeton is building native on-chain products. The underlying financial asset itself lives and functions on the blockchain, governed by smart contracts.
Why is that distinction so important?
Take their money market fund, for instance. It settles in real time via smart contracts. This completely obliterates the traditional T+2, the two-day settlement cycle used by Wall Street for decades.
Oh, right, because normally it takes 48 hours to actually transfer the cash.
Exactly. And in a T+2 system, billions of dollars are constantly locked up in transit. Trapped capital is dead capital.
So instantaneous settlement frees all that up.
It instantly frees up all that trapped liquidity. That's how they're unlocking a $16 trillion market.
It's staggering to think about that scale. Billions of dollars moving in seconds. But to wrap up this deep dive, I want to zoom out from millions of lines of code and billions of dollars to the largest scale imaginable.
Billions of galaxies.
Yes. NASA's Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope just arrived at the Kennedy Space Center. It launches in exactly 68 days, August 30, 2026, on a SpaceX Falcon Heavy.
Named after NASA's first chief of astronomy.
Right. And it will map dark matter, dark energy, and discover exoplanets using a technique called gravitational microlensing. But I have a question about this.
Sure.
We just launched the James Webb Space Telescope recently, which was a massive deal.
Generation defining.
Why do we need another giant space telescope so soon? Aren't they doing the same job?
This raises an important question, and the distinction in the sources is really clear. Webb is a zoom lens for deep, narrow observation.
Like a high-powered microscope.
Yes. But Roman is a wide-angle camera with a field of view 100 times larger than Hubble.
100 times. Wow.
Yeah. Roman will conduct surveys in months that would take Hubble decades.
So it's capturing the systemic distribution of entire galaxy clusters.
Exactly. And for the exoplanet hunting, the gravitational microlensing, it relies on space-time geometry. A foreground star acts as a magnifying glass for a background star.
And if the foreground star has a planet, it creates a tiny spike in the magnification.
You got it. So Roman is going to give us a comprehensive 3D census of planetary systems. It will finally help us answer if Earth-like planets are common or rare.
It's the ultimate wide-angle view of our place in the universe.
It really is.
Well, synthesizing this journey for you listening in one single morning, we've seen how intelligence is moving from giant models to multi-agent teams with Fugu.
We've seen how code is auditing code with GPT 5.5 Cyber.
How hardware-walled gardens are falling with Apple's unpatchable chips. How finance is tokenizing reality itself with Franklin Templeton.
How AI video is democratizing B2B content with Alibaba.
And how commercial rockets are tossing next-gen wide-angle lenses into the cosmos with the Roman telescope.
It's a lot of shift happening at once.
It is.
And I want to leave you with a final thought to ponder long after the audio stops today. We are building hyper-efficient autonomous systems, from Fugu's multi-agent AI to real-time blockchain smart contracts.
We're stripping away the intermediaries.
Exactly. But what happens to our world when these autonomous systems start interacting directly with each other, completely bypassing the humans who created them?
A completely frictionless machine-to-machine economy where we are just observers.
Yeah.
That is a heavy concept to walk away with today. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the rapidly shifting world around you, and we'll see you next time.